have a word of prayer before we get started. Lord, we're just so thankful for your presence. And everyone who's here is here on assignment and for an appointment with you. And so we thank you, Jesus, for that which you have for us. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us understanding and help us to open our hearts to hear that which you're saying to each and every one of us individually. And for anyone, Lord, who has a need, we declare your word, Lord, that no weapon formed against them will prosper, and that all things whatsoever they ask in your name, believing that they receive. And so we do declare the finished work of Jesus Christ to manifest in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as you can see, our topic today is Living in Freedom 101, Risk Everything. And so this message actually started with a dream that I had. And I was laying in the bed, and as I laid there, I heard this beautiful heavenly music. And it was so beautiful that I thought, oh, I want to get up and record that. And oftentimes I'll jump up and grab my telephone and start recording that which I've heard. And in this particular song, it said, risk everything. And I thought, wow, Lord, how beautiful to compel us to risk everything. And so I dove into what the Word of God has concerning that. And there's a lot in the Word of God concerning us risking everything. And so I'll start off letting you know that I enjoy a lot of different things in life. I call myself multifaceted. That's a way of saying I'm a jack of all trades, good at a lot of things, but not, you know, a genius at it. I just love jumping in and getting my hands dirty. And as you all know, I call it playing in the street. And so one of the things that I love is swimming. I love swimming and getting out there and laying on the beach and getting in the water. But one of the things about getting in the water is that first initial feeling of the cold water on your body, where you're like, ooh, I don't want to get in, it's so cold. But yet you don't want to miss out on the experience of getting in the water. And so there's a moment where there's this tension of, do I experience ecstasy or do I experience just dipping my toe in? And so the thing that God wants us to do, though, is to experience the ecstasy, to put our full body in, to be engaged fully in the experience. We have to allow ourselves to go through the painful and tense moment of, right? They're not that far apart. And then another thing I love is flea market shopping. You know, I'm explaining these two different things that I love because one of them is involving an experience of a certain kind, and then the other is involved in finding treasures, looking at things that someone else may not see value in, and you seeing a value in it. I mean, actually, in a flea market or at a thrift store, there are things there that people said were worthless. I don't want this anymore. It's taking up room in my house. And you go there and you're going, oh my goodness, what is this doing here? And you see the value in something that they discarded. I love that feeling. And I've had that feeling many times. And so one particular time that I went to the thrift store, I walked in and I saw on the shelf a leather bag. But this wasn't just a leather bag. This was a side of the cow, okay? Do you know that the difference between leather and leather? Okay, I mean, this bag said, I used to be a cow, okay? And so I said, oh my goodness, that bag looks like it's worth something. And they had a price tag of $20 on the bag. And so I put in the name of the maker for the bag, and I looked it up online. And I did it kind of secretly, like, oh, nobody sees me looking at this bag. Because once, sometimes when you see value in something, all of a sudden everybody else starts to see value in it. Okay? You see the contentiousness inside. Like, oh, no. Someone's going to see what I see. So I kind of went over to the side and I looked the bag up, and it was an Italian leather bag worth $1,800. That's right. I grabbed the bag off of the wall and I walked over to my girlfriend. When I'm excited, I start to whisper, oh my goodness, girl, this thing is worth $1,800. I got to get over to the counter really quick. So I walked over and I gave the woman my $20 while all on the inside going, I am stealing from the store. Not really stealing, but that's the feeling you have when you get something for nothing. You're like, this is a steal of a deal. And so we are to have those kinds of experiences, you know, to be like little kids. I'm allowed to actually bask in all of this glory with the body of Christ. When I first got to the river and I walked through the doors and I saw everyone dancing around with the flags and everything, for me, it was, I found my playground. Oh my goodness, this is amazing. But it was so good that I actually kind of looked at everyone like they were strange, because I'm a worshiper and Wesley's a worshiper, but it's like, these people are crazy. Look at them. They look like they're so free. Oh my goodness. And so it was so wonderful to find like-minded people who just wanted to worship. And we get to experience that Tuesday, Wednesday, Sunday, and any other time that they have an event. We've got to have a kingdom mind to not take for granted this treasure that we have here. This is an amazing thing that we have that should be shared, right? Whew, I'm excited. And so not seeing this opportunity as a blasé moment of like, well, I could just go there and, you know, and I could just... No, when I'm coming to the house of God, I'm excited, like, all right, I get to go again. And I know you guys feel the same way. You guys are the radical ones. Woohoo! I'm with the radical ones right now. That we enjoy the presence of the Lord. Amen. And so with this message, it has some of that same feeling expressed in it. I want you to kind of have the heartbeat and the mind of the kingdom as we approach the subject, you know, in a relaxed way of, wow, this is a good thing. And so everything in this life, I'm in your notes right now, this is the premise of this discussion. Everything in this life is a risk. You are given only two options. Number one, you take the risk and you expect results. And number two, you don't take a risk and expect nothing, okay? And so God uses people who are willing to get out there and get out of their comfort zone, and he uses people who are willing to take risk. What risk are you facing? A relationship risk, a witnessing risk, a family risk, a business risk, a job risk, a life decision, a medical risk? Whatever you are facing, know that the Lord is with you, and he makes it abundantly clear that he will help you. When you are called to step out in faith, realize that your God is greater than any problem. Be still for a second. Be still for a second in those moments where you're about to engage And okay, God, what is it you want me to do? Okay, God, what risk do you want me to take? Okay, God, how do you want me to trust you? And remember who is in control. We're not in control. When we don't take risk, we miss out on what God is doing. You know, sometimes people will say, I want God to bless what I'm doing. Okay, he's not really interested in what you're doing. He wants you to be interested in what he's doing through you, you know? And so we miss out on seeing God work. We miss out on the testimony. We miss out on a blessing. And so if you think about it, it's a riskier thing not to take a risk. All right, so Matthew 13, verses 10 through 12. This is sort of a setup of the kingdom of heaven, okay? The disciples wanted to know, why? Why do you speak parables to the people? It's a really simple question. But this one question is all-encompassing, an umbrella of authority and answer to the reason why Jesus shares all parables. He replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. He wants you to know that every single parable where he's describing natural things and so forth, each one of those parables has the secrets of the kingdom within them. And he's given them these secrets to us. And then number two, whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. So that's a law of God's Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life. Whoever has will be given more. They're going to be in abundance. And then whoever does not have, this law applies. Even what they have will be taken from them. And so we need to remember that in every single parable that we look at, the secrets of the kingdom are being revealed, that those who have will have more in abundance, and those who don't have will not have abundance. Okay? All right, so let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 45, the parables of the hidden treasure and the pearl. Now, just before I read them, I want you to know that when Jesus said to me after the dream, risk everything, like a little girl, I thought, well, what do you mean, Jesus? And then he blew my mind when he immediately said to me, he told me to look at these parables. Look at this. Verse 44, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Okay? So he saw the field, okay? And then when he went to the field, he found the treasure. And then after he found the treasure, he said to himself, oh my goodness, people are looking at this field and they think it's just a field. He said, I have found a treasure in this field. And so he hid the treasure. And then in his joy, he ran and to acquire that seemingly worthless piece of land, right? Well, that didn't have the value that other people thought that it had. He risked everything by selling all that he had to buy that field. Okay? That's amazing, because there are all these opportunities in our lives that are presented to us where we have to give up something that we thought was valuable in order to obtain true treasure. I want you to meditate on that, okay? Even after you leave here today, what is it that I'm holding on to with tight fist, thinking that if I hold on to it, that it has treasure? But really, if you release it, you will receive more treasure. And then Jesus went on right directly after that parable. He's teaching the same principle. This is called parallelism in theology. there's a parallel truth here. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Okay? All right, so let's continue on. So then I wanted to describe and define calculated risk. And I looked it up, and a calculated risk is an action or strategy that is pursued after careful consideration of risk. All right, so when that man went to the field, he made a calculated risk. He didn't just, you know, abandon everything and risk. He made a calculated risk, an action or strategy that is pursued after careful consideration of risk. Generally speaking, a calculated risk is taken when it is decided that potential rewards of an action outweigh the risk. Okay? So when we take a risk, it's a calculated risk. We see the value. We see the potential rewards in that action. Okay? That action of taking the risk outweighs the risk. All right, so here are the attributes of people who take risk. Okay, are you a risk taker? I want you to see yourself in this. And if you're not, become a risk taker, okay? All right, number one, the best risks to take are the ones that bring you into closer alignment with God's values and desires based in reality and truth, okay? We have to take risks that have God's value in them. And on the way here, I thought of a scenario of someone who took a risk. I saw a movie a long time ago. It was a pretty intense movie called Schindler's List, you know. And he owned a factory, and it was during the World War II and so forth. And so he employed Jews there to hide them, and he would use money to purchase them and so forth. And so he took risk because his whole factory could have been shut down. They would have come there and gotten the Jews and killed them and so forth. He was trying to save their lives from the Germans. But at the end, after taking the risk that he did take, he stood there and he cried because he had a gold pin on his lapel. And he said something like, it's been so long ago, but he said something like, I could have saved 3 more lives if I had just given up this pen, you know? And so that's an example of, you saw that something had, you thought it had value, but all of a sudden the value of that item has way more potential power, even kinetic energy of energy and motion. If you just took that gold item that you thought had value and you gave it over, you would be able to purchase things that were priceless. 3 more lives to save 3 more lives. And so that's what God wants us to be able to do, is to see the value in one thing, and then by the Spirit of God, have the Lord open up your eyes to see the true value of what it is you have, to put it at risk for his glory. Number two, risk takers are able to see opportunities. Have you ever seen someone and you keep telling them about opportunities, and no matter how much you talk about the opportunity, they can't seem to see it? And then you may tell them how talented they are and what they could do with their talents and how they could get way more if they left this position to take another position, but because they don't have faith and they're operating from a place of fear, they don't see themselves as taking the risk to just put a job resume out there or to leave that job to go to another job because they're so busy thinking that they're in control of their circumstances and what comes into their household that they won't just step out and experience more treasure that God wants to bless them with. You have to be able to see opportunity. Lord Jesus, we decree right now that we will be able to have our eyes enlightened by your Spirit to see kingdom opportunities around us. In Jesus' name. Number three, risk takers understand what true riches are and will find out how they can make whatever it is they are trying to acquire accessible to them. How can we as a church engage in some activity that would put us in a place where there are a bunch of unbelievers who need Jesus, where we can shine the light and get more treasure? Because I'm looking out here at an audience of treasure right now. Priceless souls and spirits. And I'm like, we could fill this place with treasure. Wow. What can we do to acquire more true riches for God's glory? How can we find out how to acquire and access those things? We declare in Jesus' name that we'll be able to do that, that we'll have the mind of Christ to create those opportunities. Number four, risk takers eagerly and willingly listen for moments to. Okay, are you guys filling in your blanks? Okay, good. They eagerly and willingly listen for moments to learn, interact, create, and engage with opportunities in order to acquire true riches. Number five, risk takers are able to understand the eternal rewards associated with their risky behavior. Okay. And then number six, risk takers hate abortive thinking and actions that steal from their destiny. Okay, so basically I'm explaining in simple terms. Abortive thinking is raining on my parade of faith, okay? Where I'm dreaming. I have the fulfillment of the Holy Spirit opening my eyes and my ears. And he's telling me, okay, here's an opportunity for you to seek out this person, speak to that other person, have this event or whatever, and someone comes along and they say, no, I don't think we can do it. And so they abort the whole action of having faith to realize the potential of true riches. Number seven, risk takers realize that if they do not take risk, they may not give birth to something that has been conceived. So they decide to trust God with the unknown. Okay. And so at the top of your next page, it says risk versus reward. That guy is on a, what do you call it? Yeah, thank you, seesaw. He's on a seesaw and he's rocking back and forth. He's weighing his options, a risk or reward. What's the risk and what's the reward of my risk? And so we see that little diagram I put there. If you are doing nothing, you're going to get nothing. If you're not taking any risk, you're not going to get the reward of the risk. And so the next scripture I have for you is an example in scripture of someone who took a risk, several people. In 2 Kings, I don't have the whole passage there because we can't cover too much in this period of time, but just a little blurb there. In 2 Kings 7 and 4, you have the lepers who were there in Syria. And remember the Israelites and so forth, they were the Assyrians were coming against them, and Elijah came to them and he told them about what was about to happen in terms of the currency and so forth, how they would sell different things for way more than what they were worth and so forth. And so then the Assyrians, because of the Spirit of the Lord, they heard a lot of noise, and in fear, they began to flee the city. And so therefore, the Israelites didn't even have to fight because God sent noise and made their enemies flee. And so then there were these lepers went and they said, we will starve if we stay here, but with the famine in the city, we will starve if we go back there. So we might as well go out and surrender to the Armenian army. If they let us live, so much the better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. And so when the lepers came to the camp, they went in and they ate and they drank and they carried out gold, silver, and clothes. And then they did the same thing the guy did who saw the field. They hid everything. And then they went to another tent and they hid some more gold and so forth. And then they thought to themselves, today is the day of good tidings. And if we hold our peace and don't tell the king, they're not going to know that this city is empty. And so they decided to go to the king and let them know that God had already scattered the Syrian army and so forth. And so those guys, they could have sat there and starved, or they could have risked going into the city and be killed. But lo and behold, because they had faith, they went to the city and God had provision for them there. But the provision wasn't just for them. The provision was for Israel as well, for them to go and say, hey, God has already scattered your enemies. You're sitting over here starving. Go on to the city and receive the gold and the clothes and everything that God has for you there. And this story reminds me of a modern day story. I read this book years ago. It was called Who Moved My Cheese? Y'all ever read that book before? I read the book and it was so amazing. I'm going to tell you this story real quick. I have to keep diving in and jumping out. But in that story, there are two mice and there's this big cache of cheese, a big load of it. And they keep going to this cheese every day and they're eating. And then the one mouse says, hey, the cheese is starting to dwindle down. And then he's like, we need to go and start finding another source of cheese before this one is gone. And then the other mouse is like, well, we still got cheese. Why are we going to go and find more cheese? I'm still eating. And the other guy's like, nah, we better find some cheese right now while we still have some cheese. So then he left and he starts going through the maze of life. And he finds another cache of cheese, right? And then the other mouse stays there until the cheese is gone. And he's like, okay, I don't have any cheese. But he waited until he had no more provision before he decided that he was going to go out and risk leaving that cache of cheese. You know, which mouse are you? Are you the mouse that will keep sitting and looking at the cheese and going, I still got cheese? Are you the one that calculates and you take a calculated risk and you go, wait a minute, I got cheese, but I need to keep running out here and finding other opportunities so I can multiply my cheese stash? Okay, what's wrong with you having several piles of cheese? Huh? God wants to bless you with provision, so much provision that you're like, oh, wow, I got so much. I need to tell somebody else about it and let them be blessed and have the opportunity to have more. Because remember, those who have will get more abundance, right? Lord Jesus, open our eyes to this truth. And then I have the story of the rich young ruler. He went to Jesus, and it's another risk everything moment. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running to Jesus and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these have I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Now, this is very important. He's saying, I have all of this other stuff. And he's seeing all of that other stuff as being valuable, right? And Jesus is about to throw a truth bomb at him, okay? One thing thou lackest, go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And was he happy? Was he happy that Jesus said that to him? He came thinking, you know, I'm really about to impress Jesus with all this stuff. I'm going to be a good addition to his kingdom and his work. I got all this. What do I need to do to now add to who I am? Jesus is not really interested in all your stuff. He's like, no, all that's worthless. It's as filthy rags. Sell all you have and come and follow me. And so he went his way sad at that saying. And he went away grieved. Can you believe that? Jesus is offering him everything, true riches, life, abundance. And he went away sad. Thank you, Jesus, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? So if God tells you to do something, go ahead and do it. Just that simple. You know, when I was a little girl, my mother would say, Ronnie, I want you to go do such and so and so. And if I stood there and say, but why do you want me to do such and so and so and so? She wasn't interested in that. I don't want to have a conversation about what it is I ask you to do. Please do it. Trust me. I need you to do it. And so that's, God is a parent. He's our Heavenly Father. He doesn't mind you asking, but it should not be a requirement for him to tell you everything that you need to do to get from point A to point B. You have to trust him along the way, trust the journey, to say, okay, Father, I'm going to go get it. And as you're walking towards it, ask the question. Don't stand there and ask the question. Walk towards it. Well, Father, I understand that I'm going over here and I'm doing this. You know, what is it you'd like me to do? It's a total different perspective in being obedient to his will. So it's dangerous to disregard God's voice when he tells you to do something. Always remember, God knows best. If God has told you to do something, then he's going to lift you up. When you get along with the Lord and listen to his heart, he will lead you to all the treasures of his kingdom that he has assigned to you and freely given to you for his glory. God is the one who accomplishes his work through us. We are to be dependent on him. And you know, what comes to mind when I'm reading that is I was in a situation where I was witnessing to someone. I was at a pregnancy care center, and someone walked in, and this person seemed very angry. I mean, I was intimidated by the anger I saw on this person's face. And I thought, well, she's definitely not open to the gospel. I'm just going to, you know, ask her, take her through this list. This is when I was first getting started. So I said, I'm just going to take her through this list, show her the pictures and so forth and pray with her. And you know, I don't even know if I'm going to get the opportunity to pray with her because she's so hard that I may not even get a chance. So after I, in the natural, with my natural eyes, it sized her up for what her heart was like, the Holy Spirit said, ask her if she wants to give her heart to Jesus anyway, after you've talked to her. And I asked her, you know, through more conversation and so forth, I obediently took her through the gospel, and she broke down crying and received Jesus as her Savior. and she wept more than anyone I had been with. And after she gave her life to Jesus, I repented and I said, Lord, I will not ever again think that I have your ability to see someone's heart and to know where they are. Please forgive me, Father, for looking at this opportunity that you've given me and size it up in the way that I, in the natural, would size it up. And so God, from that moment on, I don't care. You could have come in there with a machete and I was going to give you the gospel, okay? I had big 6-foot guys coming in there. They would look so tough and mean. I'd start talking about Jesus and how good he is and he loves you and such. And they'd break down crying and give their lives to Jesus. I'm serious. You can't really intimidate me when I start talking about Jesus. Because he is so good, isn't he? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so we got to see these moments. We got to take a risk. Risk everything in that moment and be obedient to do what he's called us to do. Because as we do that, we're going to get true riches. We're going to see souls saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Isn't that beautiful? He's got his eye on me. He's instructing me. He's teaching me. He's guiding me. He's doing the same for you. God's got his eye on you. Hallelujah. I love that. That wherever I am, his eye is on me, instructing me at all times. And so faith means taking risk. When we read Hebrews 11, you know that faith chapter where it's talking about everybody? Every last one of those individuals had to take a risk. They had to risk everything in order to be obedient to the call. And so a great example of that is Abraham. Here it is. He was given a promise, you know? You know the whole story about how they waited in faith to have their son, Isaac, and so forth. And, of course, they did it their own way at first and had another child and all that. But now he actually has the revealing of the promise of his son given to him. And he has had a joyful existence with his son, experiencing the promise. Every day that he arose and saw his son, he could say, oh, there's the son my God promised me. Oh, hallelujah. Look, Sarah, look at him. He's getting big, isn't he? God has a whole nation coming through our son, a righteous people coming through our son. We have destiny with our son, Sarah. And so then God says, I want you to take him on up. Remember the story? He took him up the mountain and everything, this son of promise. And Abraham went in obedience. And when he went there, he builds the altar and so forth. And in obedience, his son lays on the altar. And Abraham risked everything with his obedience. His risk of obedience brought us Jesus. Because it was a picture, a type that God wanted us to see, that we have to risk everything in order to gain everything. Hallelujah. You got to die to live. Hallelujah. And so risk it all for his glory. There are true riches out there for us, but we got to risk things, right? And so in that picture, I see my beloved brother Abraham. He didn't waver in his faith. He knew the goodness of God. He knew God was good for his promise. And as he goes to take his arm down, the angel cries out, Abraham. There are times when I go to take the risk, but I got to put my foot out there and in obedience. And as soon as I put my foot out there, he's like, look over there, Veronica. There's my provision. If I didn't put my foot out, there would be no need to show me the provision. If you don't take the risk, there's no reason for him to show you the next step in the provision. That act of obedience breaks loose the ability to see. You know, because remember, he said their eyes are blinded from the truth because of their disobedience and so forth. In my obedience, I open my eyes, my ears, my gates to say, Father, what is your will? And then he shows me the provision. Take the risk that he wants you to take. So faith means that we take risk. We notice that so many risks were taken by faith. And when you're absolutely sure that God is leading you to do something, then keep your eyes on him. Don't trust in your bow or your sword, because it is the Lord who saves. Love causes us to do crazy things. And so love always results in action. When you love God, you put it all on the line for him, because you know that he is worthy of it all. Sometimes love causes you to be put in uncomfortable situations, and sometimes love causes you to put your safety at risk. Love results in selflessness. So do you remember a time when your love caused you to do crazy things, either for the Lord or for others? Luke 10:27, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. And he put this same love, the simple love of loving your neighbor as yourself, right in the same list. Isn't that something? He talks, we oftentimes see the importance of loving God with our heart and loving him with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, but we don't see that he puts loving your neighbor on the same pinnacle as loving him. So let's always remember God's path's faithfulness. Whenever fear is hindering you from trusting in the Lord with something he wants you to do, then remember his past faithfulness. If God has done it before, he will do it again. God is not a one-hit wonder. A believer will never stop seeing the goodness of our Lord. Psalm 77:11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Ephesians 5:15-17, be careful. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Okay? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. It's his will for us to take risks, to trust him, to risk everything for his glory. Proverbs 3:5-6. And this is my last thing. We are to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all of our ways, we are to submit to him, and he will make our path straight. And so the Lord wants us to see each person around us as true treasure and to put everything at risk to gain true riches, true treasure for his kingdom's glory. Lord, we humble ourselves to you, and we invite, Lord, the mind of Christ to change us in Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, open up the windows of heaven and pour out your blessings as we, in obedience, run towards your treasure to see the field, Lord Jesus, and to see the treasure in the field, Lord God, to see the pearl of great price. In the name of Jesus, let your resurrection power erect a body, Lord Jesus, that will glorify you and honor you with true riches. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.